Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
New beginnings, new threshold. We all need fresh starts in our lives. And God definitely puts new beginnings into our lives. And it's always a new adventure, a new privilege to start again. And let's make this, in our own journey, a new beginning as well. For me, the New Year is always a spiritual birthday because I was actually saved on a New Year's Eve service when I was 9 years old. I was sitting in the front row and I gave my life to Jesus. So for me, the New Year is always a spiritual birthday and I celebrate it every year. I remind myself of the grace of God in my life and I recommit myself to Jesus. And I want to encourage you to step into this year with a fresh commitment, a fresh dedication to follow Jesus. And just like Toby said before, it's going to be, if you serve him, it's going to be the best year ever. Because you cannot give more than God can give to you. Amen? So the title of my message for tonight is, I've simply called it Keys to Unlock Your Future. And I've been led for this year to go into the book of Psalms, chapter 126. And we're going to read this short psalm together. And I want to teach on this psalm. We'll go through this passage of scripture together. And we're going to pull out a few principles out of this and apply it into your life and my life for the next year. Is that okay, church? Okay, so let's open our Bibles, the book of Psalms 126, and I'm going to take you through this passage. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. And those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Now this psalm and another dozen are titled Songs of Ascent or Pilgrim Songs. They would be songs that the nation of Israel would be singing on the way to the Jewish festivals. So three times a year, the whole nation would gather in Jerusalem on the mountain of Zion, and they would celebrate the goodness of God together as the nation. And if you've been to Israel, you would know that Jerusalem is built on a hill. And as they would travel to Jerusalem from all the different kinds of places, from all over the place, they would sing the songs of ascent. They were singing their way into the presence of God, literally. And I wonder if we as the church, as the family of God, if we could sing our way into the new season. If we could celebrate the goodness of God as we enter 2024. And I want to make this our song of ascent. As we pilgrim, as we journey into the new year, this could be our declaration. These could be our keys to unlock the new season. And it's a beautiful confession. I'm gonna break it into a couple of sections in this psalm. Number one is celebrating the past. Celebrating the past. The first three verses, I'm gonna read them again. Verses 1, 2, and 3. How about you read it with me? When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. See, the first thing this psalm is talking about is looking into the past and celebrating what God has done in the past. And it starts by saying that God has restored the fortunes of Zion. See, God is in the restoration business, church. Amen. He is in the restoration business. You may have lost things in your past. You may have been robbed of your blessings in the last year. You may have experienced accusations or maybe property stolen in your life. Maybe relationships that were lost in your life. Maybe your health was damaged or you've lost your loved ones. Maybe you have lost things in your past. I have good news. God still restores. He is a God of restoration. What the enemy took, God restores to you. See, even the things that you kind of lose by your own mistake, by our own stupidity, sometimes we lose things because of our own disobedience. He is a God of redemption. He's a God of restoration. There is always a way back. Now, if you look back into the last year, you will find that He had restored things in your life. If we had a testimony service today, I'm sure there would be a long line because we would be able to testify of the goodness of God. Things that God had done in the last year in our lives. Can somebody testify to that? Amen. Don't forget to count your blessings. As we enter into the new year, we celebrate the past. We celebrate the things that God has given us in the last year. We celebrate the goodness of God. We celebrate the things He had restored in our lives. Now, and it actually describes how we celebrate. Three things. It felt like a dream. You know, these guys, they had just come out of the exile for 7 decades. They were in the captivity in Babylon, and they had come back, and they were like, wow, this is unreal. We are back. God had restored His promises to us. It felt unreal. Have you ever had that experience? Like, you're pinching yourself. Is this real? Am I dreaming, or is this real? You know, the goodness of God in your life is so overwhelming that it feels unreal. It's like, I'm dreaming. Then the second thing that they say, we were filled with laughter and joy. What comes out of you as you celebrate the goodness of God is joy and laughter. I love the fact that we are a house of joy, a house of praise. We find reason always when we come together to celebrate the goodness of God with joy, with gladness, with praise. We celebrate hard, amen, because of the things that God has done in our lives in the past. See, with many of you, I know your stories. I know you have reasons to celebrate. How much you suffered, how far you came, how much the Lord has done in your life, how good the Lord has been to you. Even at the end of the year, I've met some of our new friends in the church, and I was just so amazed at the price they have paid just to be here in this nation, in this country, suffering for the cause of Jesus and seeing the perseverance and the faithfulness of God in their lives. Wow, we have a reason to celebrate the past because God has been faithful to us. Anybody excited here? It felt like a dream. We celebrated with laughter and joy. And then there were comments of others. See, they say, the others, the nations said, the Lord has done great things for them. It wasn't just subjective, just, you know, like, I feel like this is good. Everybody saw the goodness of God in their lives. It's like the others, they see your life and they see it as a testimony to the goodness of God. The other people, your neighbors, your friends, your family, they look at you and they say, wow, God must be good. They see Jesus. They see the hand of God all over you. And they say, the Lord has done great things. So the first thing we do as we unlock the future, as we step into the new year, is we celebrate the past. As we enter 2024, we celebrate what God has done. Here is number two. Number two, we are praying for the future. As we enter the new year, we are praying for the future. Verse 4 says, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev, in the desert. So part one was, we are celebrating how God had restored our fortunes. But part two is, we are like, God, you did it in the past. Would you do it again? You did it in the last year. You have taken us through the last year. Would you do it again? See, we don't take it for granted that we are going to just walk through this next year in our own strength. We are going to walk through the next year empowered by Him, equipped by Him, anointed by Him. I don't know how about you, but I'm totally depending on Jesus for the next year. If I'm going to make it through the next year, it's going to be because of Him, because of His grace. So, yes, I celebrate the past. But the second thing is, I pray for the future. And basically, this prayer is, God, I want more. You have restored my fortunes in the last year. Would you do it again? I've seen you work in 2023. Would you do it in 2024 as well? We have seen your miracles in the last year, in this last year. Would you do it again in this next year? There is still so much in our lives that needs, that requires His work, His miracles. You know, maybe my soul is still oppressed. Maybe many of my dreams are still crushed. Maybe there is so many relationships that still need restoration. Maybe still many prayers that are not answered. Now, the Bible is using a beautiful picture in this verse. It's a picture of the streams in the Negev. Now, imagine a dry desert. The streams, they are what we call a wadi, which is a dry riverbed. It's a bank of river that is completely dry. And it is only filled with water in the season of rain. So throughout the year, this riverbank is completely dry. But wait for the raining season. When the rain comes, this riverbed becomes full of water. The water comes literally rushing into this dry riverbed. So what the Bible is saying here, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. In other words, you come to Jesus saying, Lord, my riverbanks have become empty. I'm waiting for your water to come again and fill my riverbed once again. Yes, I had been filled before, but for some reason I've become dry again and I need you to fill my riverbanks once again. It's time for another rain so that the riverbanks would be filled again. This is the prayer for the future. Our fortunes were restored. You showed your power in our lives, but then things occurred, things happened in our lives, and we need a fresh visitation. We need the rain once again. And I was entering this new year kind of exhausted from last year. I know we never look as exhausted as pastors. We always have this loving, beautiful, joyful face expression, right? Come on. And I love you all, you know, but sometimes ministry is full on. It's a lot of pressure. At the end of the year, you're like, oh, man. And then there is there is time. Christmas season is amazing for us because nobody wants me. You all have your own agenda, your own programs. Nobody needs me, you know. And then I drag myself into the new year and I'm like, Jesus, I need fresh grace for this next season. I cannot just crawl into the new year expecting I'm gonna do it without you. I need a fresh visitation. I need a fresh river to go through my. I'm gonna provide the riverbanks. You provide the rain. Restore my fortunes. So this is the first thing was celebrating the past. The second thing is praying for the future. And here's number three. Number three is investing in the now. Amen. Investing in the now. Verses 5 and 6. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. So we celebrate the past, we celebrate heart, we praise, we rejoice, we give God the glory for the things He has done in the past. We pray for the future, we say, God, my riverbed is empty again, I need a fresh infilling. We pray for the future. But there is an important moment in between your past and your future. Come on. There is an important season between your past and your future. We celebrate the past and we pray for the future. But the big question is, how do I go through the now? How do I manage the present? See, we celebrate the past, but we don't get stuck in the past. Amen. There's so many Christians, they get stuck in the past and it's like their glory days are over. We don't live in the past. We celebrate the past, but hey, we are not in 2023. We are not stuck in the last year. The other day I was trying to write a date and I messed up. And it's probably going to happen again. Because like in my mind, I may still be in the last year. We don't make the mistake to get stuck in the last year. We celebrate the past, but we don't get stuck in the past. Then some, they pray for the future, but they also just daydream and they kind of live in the future. You know, they kind of don't real... They don't live out the real life. They just I'm a dreamer. I love to dream about the future, the things that God could do in our life in the future. But there is an important moment between the past and the future, and it's the now. There is a now moment that we cannot miss. In between of your past and your future, there is the present. I'm sure it's a new information for you. But hey, what you do now overcomes your past and determines your future. Can I say this again? What you do now overcomes your past and it determines your future. In other words, your now matters. If there is anything you would remember from this message, your now matters. So what do you do now? And the psalmist is saying three things. You sow with tears, you go out weeping, and you carry the seed to sow. In other words, yeah, I don't live in the past. I don't just daydream about the future. I take the sacrifice. I pay the cost. I go through the present. I pay the price for the future. I sow. I cast my seed. I toil. I work hard. I pay the cost. I carry the seed to sow. You know, it's a tough thing to invest. to plant the seed when you could just celebrate the past. You could just celebrate what God has done, but God's like, hey, you gotta pay, you gotta sow the seed for the future. It's kind of hard to sow the seed, to invest, when you could just pray about the future. God is asking us, church, that we would sow the seed for the future. So, in other words, it will cost you tears. It will cost you sometimes weeping and carrying the seed, carrying the weight, making the right decision. Something we call delayed gratification. You do the hard thing now so that you would be blessed in the future. Now, there is action required before you see the promises fulfilled and fortunes restored. If you want to see your finances restored, sow your finances. If you want to see relationships restored, sow yourself in the relationships. If you want to see salvation of others restored, sow the gospel to the others. Amen. It's easy. But the promise is huge. The Bible says, where you sow with tears, you will reap with joy. Amen. Where you go out weeping, you will return with songs of joy. And where you are carrying the seed to sow, then later you will be carrying the sheaves, the harvest. As I was entering this new year, I was hearing this scripture all the time. Because, you know, last year was actually pretty painful for our family. As many of you know our story from this last year, we actually went through quite a difficult season. And I felt God saying, you have sown with tears, and I'm going to replenish your soul, and I'm going to give you a harvest of joy. And I've taken this as a personal promise, as a personal declaration for my own life. But I also believe that this is something that applies to all of us as the church. That it's also something, a word of God for us as the church for this next year, for this future. Where you sow, you will harvest. Where we sow, we have harvest. We are going to harvest. Martha is not in the room. She's, I think, in the kids' church right now. But she wrote something on her social media a few days ago, and because she's not here, I'm going to read it. she wrote this. She says, it is possible to experience pain and joy at the same time. Amen. You can actually experience joy and pain on the same day, in the same year. It is possible to cry and laugh in the same day. Year 2024, welcome. I enter this year with humility. I want to be faithful. I want to love. I want to cry and rejoice. I want to celebrate every miracle and every good gift. I want to walk through this year because I know who has it in his hands. And I know that it will be glorious at the end of 2024 because our God is good. It's a powerful declaration, and obviously, you know, she was describing the pain that she went through and her family went through after the loss of her brother in the last year. But, you know, as we sow with tears and we are honest with God, somehow he prepares our heart to receive the harvest with joy. And I want to encourage all of us, as we go into 24, celebrate, pray, and invest. Celebrate the past, what God has done. Pray for the future. And invest in the now. Are you ready for this? We're going to fast over the next 21 days. Somebody was asking me like this crazy question. Are you looking forward to the fast? I never look forward to the fast. I always look forward to the end of the fast. when we have the 21 day fast, I look at the recipes like video tutorials. I become a cooking expert during the fast. I see steak all over the place. I become desperate. Twice I did a 40-day fast, juice only, and that's like 6 weeks, and everybody was barbecuing and grilling, and you know, your nostrils, they smell everything, every little detail. But we're going to hunger after God. In this next season, we're going to celebrate the past. We're going to pray for the future. And we're going to sow with tears in the now. And these are a couple of things we'll be praying for, 21 things. Day one, we're going to believe for renewal. Just say amen after each one. Yeah? We're going to number two, we're going to believe for revelation. Amen. Number three, we're going to believe for finances. Number four, we're going to believe for healthy marriages. Amen. Number five, we're going to believe for future spouses. I hear some hallelujahs. Number six, we're going to believe for property. Number seven, we're going to believe for salvation. Amen. Number eight, we're going to believe for careers. Amen. Number nine, we're going to believe for businesses. Amen. Number 10, we're going to believe for unity and community. Amen. Number 11, we're going to believe for influence. Amen. Number 12, believing for women.
Amen.
Number 13, believing for men. Amen. Number 14, we're going to be believing for youth.
Amen.
Number 15, for children.
Amen.
Number 16, for healing and wholeness.
Amen.
Number 17, for restoration.
Amen.
Number 18, we're going to be believing for our church.
Amen.
Number 19, for a global family. Number 20, believing for a city.
Amen.
And number 21, believing for vision for 2024.
Amen.
We're going to sow with tears. Celebrate the past, pray for the future, and sow in the present. I'm going to close with a small video. Hopefully we have that ready, a small video. And it's going to be, it's a small clip about a wadi in the desert. That's great. This is going to be your next year. Amen. God is going to fill the empty banks. He's going to restore your fortune. Come on, let's all stand. We're going to close tonight with praying for the future right now. Come on, wherever you are, we are celebrating the past. We're praying for the future. And we're saying, Lord, we're going to sow in the now. We're going to sow into what you want to do right now. So in Jesus, how about we all just simply raise our hands as a gesture of expectation. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in 2023. We thank you for every blessing. We thank you for you restoring our fortunes last year. But right now we stand here in desperation and we pray for 2024. And we pray, Lord, that we would see just like that river in the banks of the desert that was refilled. We pray, Lord, that you would restore our fortunes once again, that you would fill us up once again for this next year. Lord, and as we sow with tears, we pray that we reap with joy, that we will see a harvest in this coming year, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And even right now, in Jesus' name, I release his blessing, his favor on you. It's almost like his smile on your life, his acceptance, his loving kindness, drawing you near to him. Yeah. And before we close, I also want to give the most important invitation. Some of you may be in this place tonight and you have never really welcomed Jesus into your life. And tonight you're standing here and you're like, I want this. I want to have a part of this blessing. I want Jesus in my life as my own Savior. I know that he died. I know that he was raised from the dead, but I have never really started to follow him. And I would like to give you the opportunity to do that tonight as we enter the new year. It would be the best start of your new year to give your life to Jesus. Maybe some of you in this place, you have been following Jesus, but you need a rededication. You need a fresh beginning with Jesus. You need to come back. And so with every eye closed for just a second, I want to give you a moment. And if you're standing here and saying, Pastor Miro, I want to give my life to Jesus tonight, or I want to rededicate my life to Jesus, I just want to simply ask you to raise your hand where you are. And I'm going to be praying for you from here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Yeah. Thank you. I see your hand. Let's pray this together, church. Dear Jesus, I ask that you would forgive my sins. I decide to follow you. Make me one of your sons and daughters. I put my trust in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you were raised from the dead. And I give you my life today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for just a moment, in your own words, tell him your yes. Yes, Lord, I will follow you. I commit at the beginning of this year. I commit, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I also pray for every person in this place that is recommitting. Lord, every person that knows that is a child of God already. I pray, Father, for a fresh commitment, Father, a fresh sense of faithfulness to fulfill the call that you have placed on us. And also for every believer in the house that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. Yes, Lord, we release that. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's give Jesus a shout of praise. Yes. Come on, church. Let's give Jesus a shout of praise. Amen.